This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
On my mind, searching for that peace, y'all, but the peace I could not find. So I kneel down to pray, pray and help me, please. He said I don't have to cry, 'cause he supplies all my needs, yeah.
Soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is,
worrying how the story is, I let go and I let God. Let God have his way. That's when things start.
When things start happening, looking at factors,
I let go and I let God. Let God have it.
Let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
Let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let go.
Let God,
let
God, my sister, let go.
Let God,
let God,
let God,
let go.
Let go.
Oh, you better let God.
Let God,
my brother, let go.
Let God,
and let God,
let God,
let go.
Let God,
wave your hands and say, let go.
Let God,
and let God. Let go.
Soon as I stop worrying, worrying how the story is,
then I let go.
I let go and I,
let God.
Let God.
Let God
have it.
Soon
as that weird thing starts happening,
that's when things start happening. Then I let go.
I let go.
And I let God.
Let God.
Let God
have his way.
Soon
as.
Oh, oh, yeah.
Worrying how the story.
Soon as I start worrying.
I let go.
And I let God. Let God.
Let God have.
Say, let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
Say, let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
Let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
You better let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let go.
Let go.
You better
let God.
Let God.
My sister, let go.
Let go.
Let God.
Let God.
God.
Let go.
Let go.
Let go.
And let God have his way.
Oh, I believe we ought to have at least two or three witnesses in the house. One of my deacons had to remind me last week something I told the church many years ago in the midst of being stressed out and weighted with burdens and anxiety. My nephew, I think he was like 15 at that time, told me, "Let it go, man." Hey, come on, where are my witnesses who know that if you're going to make it in this life, you got to learn to let some things go. The old folk used to say it like this, turn it over to Jesus. Stop worrying about it. And he'll work it out. As we stand all over this place and prepare our hearts to receive a word from the Lord, I want to call your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And there you will find these words. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Amen. I posted on Facebook last night as I was thinking about this sermon, and I deleted it. I thought I deleted it fast enough, but I had somebody say to me just this morning, "I can't wait to hear you cuss, Pastor." What I put on Facebook was that some will perhaps leave saying, calling me a cussing preacher after I give you the title for this message. And the title is simply this: Get the Hell Out of the Church. Get the hell out of the church. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you would speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God and that you're God all by yourself. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Now turn to that neighbor, and you got to say it in your Christian voice, and tell that neighbor, say, "Neighbor, get the hell out of the church." Amen. Thank you, ushers. Let me suggest to you something you've heard me say before. I've said before that Jesus did not just die to get us out of hell. He did not just die to keep us out of hell. But I believe that in a real sense that he died to get some hell out of us. Do I have any witness? Come on, somebody ought to be able to look back over your life and say, there ain't as much hell in me now as it was before. I see that hand in the back. God bless you. Amen. The implication of our subject is that there is hell in the church. And I don't think this can be disputed. Hell is real. The devil is real. And I've said before that even if you take the D off of his name, he's still something to contend with. And both can be found in the church. This should not, my brothers and sisters, be a surprise to anyone who's been in the church for any length of time. And I ain't talking about Pleasant Hill, amen. I'm talking about whatever church you find, you will find a little hell in the church. Hell, as a matter of fact, the Bible lets us know that hell has been in competition with the church even from the very beginning. You Bible readers will remember that when Jesus founded the church at Caesarea Philippi, he did so mindful of hell. Don't you hear him saying, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so Jesus assures us that hell will not prevail against the church. But don't miss the fact that he makes it clear that hell will strive with the church. Inherent in the promise of victory is the reality of struggle. And the church, my brothers and sisters, has been struggling with hell for a long time. You need to know that the church has a purpose. Tell your neighbor, the church has a purpose. A part of our purpose is to give praise and glory to our Heavenly Father. If we don't glorify God unless we are challenged in our minds and hearts with the Word of God, unless we possess the mind of Christ, then everything else we do is useless. But my brothers and sisters, you need to know that Satan does not want us to glorify God. And so he brings hell into the church and tries to divert our attention to other stuff. Hell causes us to be more concerned with performance than we are with praise. Hell causes us to get more excited about positions than about ministry. Hell takes our eyes off of Christ and diverts our attention in more self-serving directions. The church struggles with hell. Then the second purpose of the church is that we are called to be an agent. We're called to be agents of God. We don't represent ourselves. We represent Jesus the Christ. As a matter of fact, when people see us, they ought to see Christ in us. Do I have a witness this morning? And I need to tell you that this is both a great honor and a tremendous responsibility, but Satan does not want us to represent Christ. And so he brings hell into our churches. A sad reality is that much of the skepticism and ridicule that's directed towards the church today is because we have not been good ambassadors of Jesus. Do I have any witnesses today? You know what hell will do. Hell causes us to fight with each other and leaves the enemy free to have his way with the world. There's an expression, y'all have heard that saying that says the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Can I tell you something? If that's true, it's because the church is not doing what it's supposed to do. When drug deals can go down right on the church grounds, and you know, it's sad to say, but we have security cameras around the entire perimeter of this church. We've got an alarm on the building. It's because hell is busy. Amen. I know y'all read the good testimony I put on Facebook this past week about how the Leesville Police Department handled a young man who was sleeping in his car on our parking lot. I want to thank Chief Westlake and the police for how they handled that young man. They treated him with respect and dignity. They didn't pull guns out and try to rough him up. They really talked to him to find out what his situation was. And he said, I've had a fight with my stepfather, and rather than to make things worse, I got in my car. I needed to find somewhere to sleep, and the Lord led him to the parking lot of Pleasant Hill. And the police called me. They said, they told me his situation. They said, now, Pastor, do you want us to make him leave, or can we let him stay? I said, let him stay. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go over and talk to the young man and find out if he needs any other assistance. And bless God, amen, bless God. I said, bless God, that the young man said, Pastor, I don't need any money. I don't even need a hotel room. I just need a place to get away from that stuff, that hell in my house. I just need a place where I can sleep in my car. Come on, somebody ought to bless God. But I got to also tell you that there have been other situations, and Minister Wilson is here to vouch for it, where we've had drug deals that have taken place right here on the church grounds. One was so bad that the police ended up arresting the folk and towing the car away. Amen. So hell is fighting against the church. But then there's a third purpose of the church. Our third purpose is that we ought to be active in the affairs of men. Y'all, the church is supposed to be alive. The church is the body of Christ. The church has eyes that must see. The church has ears that must hear. The church has a voice that must be heard. The church has hands that must work. The church has feet that must move. The church has a heart that must feel. If the church is going to minister to hurting people, then it must be what God called it to be, and God called the church to be alive. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Come on, let's show the devil that we're alive. We're alive. We're alive for the kingdom of God. But Satan wants the church to be dead. Satan wants the church to be silent. And so he brings hell into our churches. And hell works hard to keep us from working. Hell gets into folk and causes them to talk only about what we cannot do. We can't come together to minister to man's physical and spiritual needs. We cannot help folks who can't help themselves. Satan keeps hell up in the church to try to keep the church quiet, but hell must not prevail against the church. We've got to make it our goal to get the hell out of the church so that we can do the work of the church. And can I tell you one way you can disturb that devil? Can I tell you one way that you can put the devil on the run? One way is to remind him about the blood of Jesus. Is there anybody who's glad that you're covered by the blood of? Do you know the devil is afraid of the power that is in the blood of Jesus? Can I tell you another way? If you want to put the devil on the run, I dare you to open your mouth and start giving God praise, even with trouble in your life. Give him praise, even with folk lying on you and talking about you. Give God praise. Well, somebody may be asking, how did hell get into the church in the first place? And y'all know the answer is simple. Hell is in the church because hell is in us. If hell is in the church, it's here because we allowed hell to have a place in our heart. And don't you get super spiritual on me now. Amen. You cute and all of that. But let me tell you, that halo needs shining every now and then. Because you know the church is not a building. But the church is people who have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. We are the church. And so if there's hell in the church, that means that there's hell in us. If Satan is running loose in the church, it's because Satan is running rampant in us. Now, that don't mean that you're not saved, but it does mean that you need to check yourself from time to time. The young folk used to say years ago, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Well, I am in Bible country, Deacon Smith. Peter was saved, but hell got into Peter. And hell caused the saved Peter to try to keep the gospel to himself. Y'all know Paul was saved, but hell got into Paul, and hell caused the saved Paul to break fellowship with Barnabas. James and John were both saved, but hell got into those young men, and hell caused the saved James and John to demand something from Jesus that did not belong to them. Now, I'm not challenging the status of your salvation, but I stop by to let you know that even if you're saved, if you're not careful, hell will get into you. Hell will get all over you. Hell will cause you to do things that you know you ought not do. Hell will cause you to say stuff that you know you should not say. Hell will cause you to be a stumbling block in God's program. And if you find yourself struggling with hell, then you ought to want to get the hell out of the church. Our text today comes from Paul's first recorded letter to the church at Corinth. Paul had a great love for this particular church. And because he loved them, he was genuinely concerned about their problems. And Paul determined that their problem was that there was hell in the church. Paul says that this church had been gifted with the grace of God. They had been enriched in every way through Christ. Paul said that they were not lacking in any spiritual gift, but hell was in the church. How do you know it, Pastor? I know it because Paul says, I wanted to give you meat, but I've been forced to feed you with milk. Like little babies, because you ain't ready for me. Amen, amen. And that tells me that one reason we need to get the hell out of the church is because hell will stunt your spiritual growth. Do I have any witnesses today? Hell will keep us spiritual babies. There are folk that have been in the church 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, but as soon as somebody offers a word of correction to them, they want to get out of the church. I ain't singing in that choir no more. I don't want to be an usher no more. Amen, amen, amen. That ain't nothing but hell in you. One way the devil keeps us on milk is to cause us to get caught up in sensationalism. I wonder if there's anybody who's been walking with God long enough to know that this thing we call religion has to be more than mere sensationalism. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that when you look at this church at Corinth, Paul said, all y'all doing, you're speaking in tongues. Every time you get together, you're speaking in tongues. And I thank God for the gift of tongues, but there ought to be more to your walk with God than speaking in tongues. Because Paul made it clear that speaking in tongues only edifies the one who's doing the speaking unless there's an interpreter. And when you grow in God, my brothers and sisters, you ought to want to edify more than yourself. Come on. Come on. You're a baby in Christ if all you're concerned about is you feeling good. And I thank God for church where I can feel good, but I need a word that will teach me how to walk right. I need a word that will teach me how to talk right. Is there anybody here today who knows that you've got to have strength? And if you're going to be strengthened, you see, milk will make you feel good. Whenever I can't sleep at night, amen, there's my answer. Just give me a glass of milk with about 10 Oreo cookies. I was going to sleep real good. Milk will make you feel good. But can I tell you something? But when the feeling is gone. Come on, is there anybody here who needs something? Amen. More than a feel-good religion, I need something that when my mama is sick and I don't know the answer on how to get her well, I need something that is going to give me the strength to say, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But by faith, I believe the Lord will make a way somehow. Is there anybody here today who needs more than feel good? You need some meat that will fortify you with the word of God. Then Paul says that there was hell in the church because they could not stop quarreling amongst themselves. I've been in church all my life. I've had just about every position in the church except church mother. I've been an usher. I've been a pastor, an associate minister. I've worked the sound system, worked the video. Amen. I've done all of that. I've been in church a long time, but it amazes me how church folk can find the silliest stuff to fall out over. I have seen churches split because the choir had an argument about what color robes they wanted. I have seen whole usher departments fall apart because some wanted to wear gloves and others didn't. And so Paul said that there's hell in this church because y'all keep quarreling amongst yourselves. Some of the people had come to the church, the Bible says, by Paul. Some had come by Peter, and some had come by Apollos. And once they got into the church, instead of working together, they were arguing about which one was the better preacher. Church, that's how you know when hell is here. We spend too much time arguing about little things. And we don't spend enough time talking about reaching lost people with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray for a church that has as much of an appetite for evangelism as it does for gossip. I pray for a church that has as great an appetite for Christian education as it does for mess. When hell gets in us, we want to change the church and make it something other than what God called for it to be. But we've got to get hell out of the church. Come on, where are my folk who want to help us? We got to get hell out of the church. We must concern ourselves with being what God called us to be. We've got to stop arguing amongst ourselves about molehills and start climbing the mountains that stand in our way. Paul says that the church at Corinth was a good church, but that it was suffering from a case of too much hell in the church. And as Paul nears the close of this epistle, he urges the Corinthians to get the hell out of the church. I hear him say, stand firm. Let nothing move you. always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Now, I love the NIV, but I love the way the King James Version says it. Come on. How does King James say it? Amen? Huh? Somebody read it from the King James Version real quick. Be ye steadfast and unmovable. Come on. Always abounding in the works of the Lord. Why? For you know that your labor is not in vain. And so here it is. First, to get hell out of the church, Paul says you've got to be consistent. Let me hear everybody say consistent. Consistent. Stand firms mean that we are to be regular in the practice of our religion. We're regular with everything else. We go to work every day on time. Amen. You may leave a little early, but you get there on time. One of the things I love about Jesus is that Jesus is consistent. He's always the same. It didn't matter who he was with. He was always the same. Come on, how many wish your friends would act like that? It didn't matter what people had to say about him. He was always the same. And if we're going to get the hell out of our churches, we must have a consistent religion. We've got to stop saying one thing and then doing something else. We got to stop being so quick to give up when trouble comes, but we have to stand under all conditions. We ought to have a reputation that tells people we are consistent followers of Jesus. Number two, not only must we be consistent, but if we're going to get the hell out of our churches, then we must also show some stability. Paul says, let nothing move you. Church, a lot of us have a problem because we just ain't stable. There's a difference between consistency and stability. Consistency talks about being regular. Consistency talks about being faithful. Consistency talks about being dependable. But stability refers to how you react when conditions try your faith. Stability talks about how you respond when conditions challenge your dependability. The only reason why Paul would talk about being unmovable is because he knew that hell will try to make you move. Hell will test your commitment. Hell will try to break you down. But you can be unmovable. You can be stable if you're grounded in the right foundation. I don't know about you, but I can say